The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Christ has called us to be a part of his body. We are a part of the kingdom of God, and we're not just called to sit in metal chairs in a school building on Sundays. We're called to be out in the world, being his hands and his feet, and sharing the gospel with others. Over this next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at how God has called us to be his ambassadors, how God has called us to be out in our community, spreading seed and praying for people and meeting real needs. Jesus, often as you follow his footsteps through the Gospels, we see that he saw crowds and he was moved with compassion. Jesus didn't just tell them, hey guys, I'm the Savior, follow me. He met their needs and he's called us to walk in those same footsteps. Many of us, we need to start realizing that each of us have something that God has given us that we need to share with others. And it isn't just physical things like coats and clothing, although we should be sharing that kind of stuff, and many of you do that. But God also wants us to share the reason that we have hope, the reason that we have a future, and that is ultimately because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what each of us are called to do. Sharing is not just for a select few, people who are called pastors or missionaries, but each and every one of us are called as a part of the body of Christ to be his hands and his feet and to be sharing. And so I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. First one is, do you believe there is a heaven and a hell? Do you believe that? You don't have to answer that right out loud. But do you believe there is a heaven and a hell? A lot of our culture hopes for a heaven. You know, we want that. We want to be in that place of glory, that place of where everything is perfect at the end of life. But a lot of us struggle with the idea of whether there's a hell or not. The Bible speaks more about hell than it does about heaven. And Jesus talked over and over again about a place of being separated from God if we do not know him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father in heaven but through me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is a hell and Jesus is the only way to avoid going there? Now, this is not going to be a hellfire and brimstone type of series. We're not here to scare people into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to go to heaven because you're afraid of burning. That's not how it works. And that can sound a little intense, but the truth is that God loves us and he invites us to eternity with him. He invites us not to an eternity in the future, but to live heaven on earth now. And he wants to walk with us each day. He loves you and he calls us to love him. And in turn, share that love with others so that they will come to know him as well. Have you ever thought of it like that? Have you ever thought that some people may never know Jesus but through you? And we want you to see that over this next series. Another part that I want to really encourage you with, Kevin's already kind of alluded to this, is that we're going to be taking the content that we're talking about on Sunday mornings, and we're going to be diving deeper into it in our community groups. Every community group over the next 5 weeks is going to be walking through this study together. We'll have participation guides for you to use in your small groups. You'll have the ability in a small group environment to share stories with one another, ask questions, dive into the scriptures a bit more, get a bit more equipping on how is it that God wants us to share. And it's not as difficult as you might think. And we're going to be touching on some of that this morning. My hope is that if you're not in a community group, that you won't leave today without asking about how you can join one. We've got several. We've got a couple new ones starting. We have some on Sunday nights, some on Wednesday nights, and some new ones starting. And you can get plugged into an old one. Everybody is starting the study together, and we hope that you get engaged. So let's start by looking back at Scripture. Everything that we base our beliefs on is found in the Word of God. And so this morning, I want to take us really back to where we get this idea that all of us are called to share. And I want us to start in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it really is where Christ starts to really pour forth his mission. what it's all about, what he came here for. And we see that this is really the beginning of him calling us to follow him and what that means. And there's some awesome stuff that you're going to be able to see here today. How much do you have to hate someone to not tell them about Jesus? That may seem a little harsh, but let me state that question again. How much do you have to hate someone to not tell them about Jesus? If I was standing on the street corner out here on 234 and somebody was getting ready to cross, they maybe had headphones in, and there's a big diesel truck, you know, coming down 234, and they don't hear it, they don't see it, and I see them going, and I'm like, well, they should be paying attention. How much would I have to hate that person to not get their attention somehow and stop them from being hit by that truck? If we felt that way about heaven and hell and Jesus, would we live differently? Because there is a truck headed for all of us that are apart from Christ. And if we die without him, we won't spend eternity with him, that's for sure. We'll be apart from him forever. Luke chapter 2 wakes us up. See, from the very beginning, Jesus' call was for us to follow him and to be a part of his plan for sharing the good news, the gospel, his love with the world around us. One day, Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. This was a very popular lake where crowds and crowds of people would be gathered on the shore, bartering, trading fish and meats and buying and selling and trading. And it was the center of all that happened in that region. And Jesus is there. And a crowd of people has gathered around. They've heard about this guy. There's something different about this guy, Jesus. They weren't quite sure who he was or how he was different, but there was something different and compelling about him. And so the people crowded around and they were listening to him as he shared the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Now these fishermen had been fishing all night, and their shift was over, if you will, and they're cleaning up, they're packing up their stuff for the day. He saw at the water's edge two boats. Go ahead, verse 3. He got into one of the boats. I don't know if that was common. You just walk up to a neighbor. I'll get in this one. But he did for whatever reason. Actually, it just dawned on me that earlier, if you read in the Gospels, you'll see that this guy Simon, Jesus was at Simon's house before this event. So he knew Simon. And of course, Jesus knows everything. So he had actually healed Simon's mother-in-law just before this. And we'll see how this plays into the picture, to the story in a minute. But he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to this guy Simon, who later we come to know as Peter, one of the disciples. He got into the boat of Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he began to teach the people. So Jesus is kind of floating just a little offshore. People are gathering along the water's edge. And he's just teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. Continue on. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon. Now, what was Simon doing? He was done. He had already been fishing for the night. He was already cleaning up. What was Jesus' occupation? Carpenter. If you know a little bit about Jesus, you know he was the son of a carpenter. He wasn't a fisher guy. And back then, you kind of took on a trade, and that was what you did. And if you know a little bit about Simon, I wonder what Simon was thinking. Why is a carpenter telling me how to fish? Has someone ever told you how to do something that you know how to do, and it kind of just annoyed you? Why are you telling me how to do this? And we know Peter was a guy who would just fly off a handle from time to time. And so I'm wondering what's going through Peter's mind when he hears Jesus say this. Put out your nets, put out into the water and let down your nets for a catch. And what was interesting about this is that Simon comes back and says, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. Now, he does use the word master, and this is kind of like teacher. You got to remember that Simon has now already been exposed to Jesus. Jesus has already been in his home, literally praying over his mother-in-law, and was healed. And so he's like, there's something. He's like master, a teacher, like a rabbi. And so he's showing respect, but he's also a little kind of ticked off. Master, we've already been doing this. We worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like God wants you to do something, but you're like, can I just rest? We've been working hard all week, and there's no results. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you're doing the right thing, but there's just no fruit? Have you ever felt like you've been just trying and trying and trying, and you know what? This just isn't working, and you just want to give up. Have you ever been there? Peter says, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught anything. He checks himself, though, and he says, okay. He remembers, you know, this guy, he did pray over my mother-in-law, and something happened there. And so he responds back, and he says, because you say so, I will let down the nets for a catch. Let's keep going. When he had done this, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help, and they came and filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve this. What happened here is that I think we need to realize that, first of all, it doesn't matter how hard we try, how hard we work. The work of God is not up to us or how skilled we are at performing his work. We're going to look at another passage of scripture where I'll drive that home. We simply at times just need to obey. We just need to do because God has called us to do it. Even when all things point that if you do this, you're going to get the same results, sometimes God just wants us to do it anyway and to trust him. When they did, what happened? They had such a large catch of fish, their nets began to break. And not only their boat was full, but they signaled to partners in the other boat, and both boats began to become so full. And I believe we as Hope Hill Church, if we simply continue to work hard, and it takes hard work to do what God calls us to do. If we continue to work hard, sometimes all day and all night, if we continue to press forward and do so because Jesus has called us to, that in God's timing, we will catch fish. And it will not only be us that catches fish, but our partners as well. This speaks to me because we are one church, part of the greater body of Christ. There are many churches in this area, and there are many lost fish that have not yet been caught by God's love. I shared with you statistics from a recent census that shows in this area, only 8% of the people in this area believe that this is the word of God and that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Only 8%. That's staggering when you think about those numbers in this area. There are a lot of people that are casual Christians. Yeah, you know, it's American to be Christian. So yeah, we're Christian. But when you really drive down, as the census did, only 8% came back as being Bible-believing, Jesus-following Christians. We've got work to do. We've got people to reach out to. We've got people to love on. And Jesus invites us to be a part of that. He says to the fishermen, go out to where it's deep. What that tells me is that we're not going to catch any fish if we just cast our nets right here. Yeah, some of you sitting in this room, maybe here, and you don't quite yet know what you believe in God, about God. And my hope is that as we share, as we gather together from week to week, that the truth of God and his love for you would be revealed. That the Holy Spirit would open your heart and you would accept his love and give your life over to him. But the truth is that most of the fishing to be done is out there. And as Jim just shared earlier, he planted a seed 15 years ago, not knowing what God was doing with it. That's often the way God works. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But the next thing that we see here in this passage is that Simon, he is a sinful man, and he realizes that God is working through this man, Jesus, somehow. He doesn't quite yet know that Jesus is God in flesh, but he is so compelled to realize that this is something I'm not worthy of, and he falls to his knees. I am a sinner. I don't deserve this. And Jesus' response is, you know what? You're right. You're a sinful sinner. Go, I don't need you. Is that what he says to Peter? No, not at all. Keep going. What does Jesus say? Jesus said, for he and all his companions, this is Peter, for Simon Peter and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Keep going. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus didn't turn and say, you know what, you're right. You didn't make a cut to be a disciple of a rabbi in town, and that's why you're a fisherman. You don't make my cut either. No, he turns to Simon, who is admittedly saying, I am sinful, I don't deserve you. And he says, I'm going to use you to catch men. And what's their response? Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up to the shore, and they left everything to follow him. There's so much I could say about that. We don't have time because I want to look at one other passage today. But here's the point that I want to get across today. That Christ, from the very beginning, calls us to hard work. To calls us to obedience, even when it seems like there's no results. God wants us to continue to do the work that he's called us to do. The third thing is that he chooses to use broken, weak, sinful people. And at the same time, the attitude that Simon took on was the attitude of humility. He doesn't want to use you walking around saying, yeah, I'm a sinner used by God. I'm going to keep sinning and keep being used by God. God wants us to be broken and humble. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing you can do in your life that will stop God's love from being poured out to you. And so we come to a place of humility, a place of brokenness, a place of saying, God, it isn't me. It's you. I'm not worthy enough to do this. But we also realize that he invites us. I've been quoting Henry Blackaby many times over the last few weeks. God is always at work, and he invites us to join him in that work. I don't know if many of you know, there was a message sent out by Henry Blackaby's family. He's diabetic, and he went missing on Thursday. And I haven't heard a report if they've found him or not, but they did find him. Well, that's good. I know many of you saw that I put out that we were praying, and a lot of you said you'd praying with me. So I thank you for that. But Henry Blackaby reminded us that God is always at work, and he invites us to join him in that work. God has always been about sharing his love, and now he invites us to share. And now the sharing may look a little different. Not many of us are out there, you know, our center of commerce isn't around a lake where we're bartering and trading fish and hoping, you know, to have our needs met for the day. We live in a very social focused area, and so I love the way that Austin took this and brought it up to our time. And a lot of you share things on Facebook. And a lot of times we think of Facebook as just some you know, fun little thing, and some of it's just annoying to a lot of you. But the truth is it's a great venue to share our faith. It's a great venue to share with people who God has us as friends. And so we want to encourage you to continue to have your eyes open to where God is sending you into the deep waters of your life. Wherever he is sending you, there are fish to be caught. There are people that he wants to use us to reach. I asked a question before we started this passage, and I said, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus? I heard about, you guys know Penn and Teller, the magicians. Penn is a devout atheist. He's written many books. He has a show on one of the cable networks called Bull Something, you know, Bull Bleep. And one of them was, you know, the Word of God is nothing but BS. And yet, he shared a very convicting message on YouTube that got a lot of attention. And it really asks this question: how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus? I want you to take a look at what he said.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. But he said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, He was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
How much do we have to hate someone to not tell them that Jesus loves them, to not tell them that there is a heaven and a hell, and apart from the loving love of our Father, our Savior, they will forever perish apart from Him. My hope is that Penn will eventually, the Holy Spirit will break through, and that he'll yield to the seeds that are being planted in his life. My hope is that we would grasp this as a body of believers, that we would not just be a people that come and sit on the shore and watch other people fish, but that we would get in boats, that we would go out to where it's deep, that we would be a part of the sharing that God has called us to, that we would be people who take awkward, risky steps and approach somebody who maybe sits two or three cubicles down from us and say, hey, I've noticed you've not been doing too well the last, is there something I can pray with you for? Mike Conley, is he in here? I want to brag on him a little bit. He's somewhere. He's probably in the back cleaning coffee mugs or something. Mike Conley, 3 years ago, you know, as we met him here in the community, he would admittedly say he wasn't walking with God, and now he's, you know, serving people left and right. And he shared with me, I don't know, it may have been a few months ago, but he said, I was at work, and there was this coworker who looked like they needed prayer, and he just took the risk and said, hey, can I pray for you? And it was the first time he'd ever done that, and there he is, right there. Doesn't even know we're talking about him. Hey, Mike. And he just reached out. He took that risk to reach out to this coworker who was in need. And Jim did that 15 years ago with Alan. And my hope and prayer is that as he's no longer here on earth, that he is with Jesus as a result of the seeds that were sown. Each of us have a part that God wants us to play in the work that he's called us to. Are you realizing that? Are you realizing that he has given us this mission? We are to be his ambassadors, sharing the good news with the people that God has placed around us. My hope is that you will grab hold of that. I'm going to save the other passage for next week. If you want to read ahead, it's Mark 4, 24, 26 through 34. You can write that in your notes. It's a parable of seed being sown. Just a highlight for next week. You know, God has called us to spread the seed of the gospel. It's not up to us to make the seed grow. God is in the seed growing department. It's just up to us to spread that seed. And yeah, we've got things to do. Again, if I want to lead someone to Christ, I'm not going to spread seed and then punch them in the face. You know, I need to do things in life to help, you know, work that relationship. But ultimately, it really is up to God what happens with that seed in their life. Next week, I think I'll call the message while you were sleeping. And if you go and read the passage, you'll see what I'm talking about. But I want to encourage us that Christ had a mission, and that was to come and to share his love with those who didn't know him. And now he has left us here to share that love with all around us. God has placed you where you live, where you work, where you sleep, where you play for a reason. And that is to be his instrument, to be his fisherman in this world, sharing the love that he pours out to all of us. Have you responded to that? Do you believe it? Have you accepted it? My hope is that you do know it and that you're willing and ready to share it. Over the next month, we're going to be encouraging you how to take some practical steps to, to share your faith, how you can, in our Bible study times, in our community groups, you're going to be looking at some testimonies and some stories of real life examples of how we can reach out to our friends, our neighbors, your kid's soccer coach, whatever it may be. And my hope is that you will grab hold of what God wants you to grab hold of this series and realize that we're on a mission here and that you'd be willing to share that. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us in this room that we would realize that your mission is to use us to fulfill your mission, to use us to share your love with this world that is far from you. God, I pray for people like Penn who are yet not realizing who you are, who are far from you, God. And I thank you for that gentleman, whoever that was, that took a risk and shared with him. And God, that we would follow in those footsteps and that we would go out into deep waters, some places that are uncomfortable where we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but that we'd be willing to take a risk because, God, you cross the cosmos to reach us. And you now call us just to walk across a room to reach another. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us the power, the boldness, the courage of your Holy Spirit. Your word tells us that when we're questioned, not to worry, but to rely on you, the Holy Spirit, who would give us the words to say in those moments. And that, God, we would begin to see ourselves as true ambassadors sent by you to share your love with the world around us. God, I pray for those who are sitting in this room who maybe have never truly accepted your love into their own life. That right now, even here today, that they would open their hearts to you, that they would realize that apart from your Son, they are separated from you forever. And that it is through your Son and his blood being shed on a cross to wash our sins white as snow, to give us forgiveness for our sins, that all we have to do is put our faith in you and say, Christ Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and forgive me. Make me new. Wash me white as snow. Help me to follow you. And as God, as you promise us, that if we call out to you and call you Lord with our mouth and believe in our hearts that you died to save us, that you say we will be made anew. We will be born again. We will be made a child of God. So God, I pray for those who are sitting in this room who have never done that, that right now they would say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Make me your child. And God, I pray for the others in this room who have done that, who are walking in your steps and following you, God, that we would realize the importance of us sharing our faith with others, of not beating up people with our Bibles, of not shoving stuff down their throats, but God, living a life of love like you did, God, seeing people in need and having compassion, seeing people who are lost and drifting and trying to guide them to truth, God, and that we would go out in the power of your Spirit and the power of your love to rescue this lost and dying world. God, use us. God, I pray over these next few moments that as we come and we rest in the challenges that we've been challenged with today, God, that you would help us to make some commitments to you during this prayer and worship time, that we would, God, let your Spirit speak to us and show us, God, maybe bring to mind somebody in our life who you would want us to reach out to. We would learn to follow the promptings of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that if there are some in this room who want to partner with somebody in prayer, that they maybe turn to a friend or a spouse or our prayer teams in the back, and they would say, you know what, God brought Joe to my mind, and I want to just ask that you pray with me that I would be bold enough to share the gospel with Joe. God, that you would help us to realize the importance that we are here to share. In your name I pray. As we go into our response time, I want to remind us, as I do every week, that all of this is only possible because of what Christ did for us. When he gave his life on the cross, when his body was broken and his blood was shed, the scriptures say that when we come together that we're to remember this. And so at Hope Hill Church, we take a piece of bread, a remembrance of Christ's body broken for us. And we dip it in this cup, a reminder of the blood shed for us. And we say, Christ, because of what you did for me and dying for me, I will now live for you. And if you're ready to make that decision, yes, Christ, because of your death for me, I will now live for you. I will now follow in your footsteps and share your life with others. Then I invite you to come forward and to take this bread and to dip it in this cup and do this in remembrance of him. As always, we have prayer teams in the back, and I'll be up here in the front, willing to pray with you if there's anything. If you want prayer for courage, you would be able to reach out to somebody. If you want prayer for forgiveness, you feel like you need to confess something, I'll help you go to God and confess that. Whatever it is, I pray that you follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit over these next few moments. Let's respond as he leads us. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, and we pray now, God, that you would lead us in response to you. Let us yield to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Respond if you're led.